Today we are going to wrap up the series on grace and peace. Woohoo! It's been a good one, hasn't it? So thankful for grace and peace. So thankful. I couldn't live without it. Could not live without it. First, I want to share a little testimony with you. It won't take long. It's not as long as last week's. I hope you enjoyed last week's testimony about my niece. So good. I still get pictures from her of the baby, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to go to South Carolina and hold her, right? I just need to get back down there. But today's testimony is a little different. There's a pretty well-known worship leader out in California. His name is Sean Foyt. I think that's the way you say it. I'm not sure it's spelled weird. F-E-U-C-H-T. I think it's Foyt. But anyway, as many of you probably have heard on the news, in California now, churches are banned from singing and chanting to try to prevent the spread of COVID. We're not going to give any commentary on that today, please. We're not going to argue about it. But it was kind of cool because Sean Foyt, when he heard about the ban, it lit a fire in him. And he said, I must worship. I must sing. And so he started holding worship services outdoors because the ban is for indoors. And so he said, okay, we can do that. That's not a problem. We can go outside and have worship services. And he started having these worship services. Well, cities across the nation are contacting him and saying, please, can you come to our city? We want that here. So he started this hashtag. You can look it up if you're on Instagram. Hashtag let us worship. And you'll find countless testimonies. But I just wanted to share one of those testimonies with you today.
We're here in New York City, Washington Square. I'm with my new friend, Julio. He was the first one tonight to lift his hand up to get baptized, and we just baptized him in the fountains. And I just want you guys to meet him and hear why he wanted to get baptized.
Wow, that's good. And I didn't expect this. I just came here, and I just felt it. I just felt it. And I was worshiping, and I really needed that.
Come on.
I was empty, and now I think I'm a new person, I'm
Come
a new
on.
Guy. And that's the most
Come
important.
On.
And I'm very...
Come on.
We're so grateful for him. All the way from Nicaragua, God brought him here just for tonight.
That's awesome.
Amen. Give it up. Isn't that awesome? It's really a cool story because I did some researching after I found that clip. And Sean, when he goes into a city, he contacts the city leaders, basically, and says, here's what we want to do. Here's where we'd like to do it. What are your recommendations? He works with them. He doesn't work in opposition to them. The baptism that took place in the fountain, they actually have some other clips of baptisms happening in the fountain. But I found out after the fact, they actually ask NYPD, who was on the scene, is it okay if we use this fountain for our baptisms? And they were like, go for it. Does that not get you excited? So if you want to see some heart-pumping, faith-pumping testimonies, look up, I think, on Facebook or on Instagram, hashtag LetUsWorship, search that, and you should be able to find some. If not, you can do his name. I can text you his name later if you want. It's Sean Foyt, F-E-U-C-H-T. It's really interesting to look that up and find that out. I just thought you'd like to hear about it today. So I wanted to share it with you. So the question is, you know, Sean made a decision, what is worth fighting for? He made a decision, what is worth fighting for? He said, listen, I don't need to worship indoors. That's fine. I'm going to worship. He fought for worship. So I'm asking you today, what's worth fighting for? I believe grace and peace are worth fighting for. And grace is a gift. Yes, it is. So you would think from the fact that it's a gift, we wouldn't have to fight for it. But if you read any of the New Testament, you will see Paul contended for grace. He fought for grace, okay? So point number one on my outline today is how do we fight for grace? If we're supposed to fight for grace, how do we fight for it? Point A, In humility, we remember what we deserve. I cringe every time someone says, oh, I'm so glad you got a new car or you got this gift or whatever. You deserve it. I just cringe. Because I don't see blessings that way. I really don't. I mean, I know that it comes from a sweetheart, and I love the heart behind it. I genuinely do. But I don't want anyone thinking for one second that I think I deserve anything good that I have in my life. Because grace isn't like that. So funny. And humility. When we were, I didn't plan to tell this, but I'm going to tell it anyway. When we were in youth ministry many years ago, we did a teaching on humility and what humility was. And this sweet, sweet little girl, after we shared the message, she said, can I say something? I have a testimony. And we're like, absolutely. So she got up, and just the sweetest girl you ever want to meet. And she goes, thank you for the teaching on humility. I really think I am very good in this area. If you have to brag about how humble you are, you might want to check yourself a little bit. But she was only 15. I said some stupid stuff when I was 15. I still do, but, you know. So we gave her some grace. In humility, the way we fight for grace is we stay humble. In humility, we remember what we deserve. In Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, in the Passion Translation, it says this. Paul is talking. He says, now, we realize that everything the law says is addressed to those who are under its authority. This is for two reasons. So that every excuse will be silenced with no boasting of innocence. And so that the entire world will be held accountable to God's standards. For by the merit of observing the law, no one earns the status of being declared righteous before God. Well, the really good people do. No, it says no one. None of us is righteous. None of us. For it is the law that fully exposes and unmasks the reality of sin. So in humility, we remember what we deserve. Humility is remembering that none of us deserves anything good. We only deserve the penalty of our sin. Not of Adam's sin, of our sin. We deserve the penalty of sin. Humility is also accepting that grace is a gift that I don't deserve. And so if I can remember that I don't deserve grace, it's easier to fight for it and give it out to other people. I will fight for grace from that place. I will. I will not get judgy with others because I remember what I deserve. Do you see? That's how you fight for grace. Another way you fight for grace, point B, is also in humility. We remember that we see only part. I don't know why that's so hard for us to remember, but it is. We think we have an understanding on something. I've literally had people that the theme of their life is grace, and they judge me for not having enough grace. That's a little ironic. Does anyone else see the irony in that? That's ironic. We all need to remember, I see only part. You see only part. You see only part. I love the passage in 1 Corinthians 13, and most of us are familiar with verses 1 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. I read it and I go, yeah, I can't live up to that. I'm glad God can. You know, I need God to try to live up to that. It's read at weddings. But then what comes after that in verses 8 through 13 says this. Love never stops loving. It extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. It is more enduring than tongues, which will one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten. Our present knowledge and prophecies are but partial. But when love's perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters, for I saw things like a child and reasoned like a child. But the day came when I matured, and I set aside my childish ways. For now, even mature. For now, even though I have set aside childish ways, and I have set aside childish ways of speaking and seeing, I still recognize that I see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries, as though reflected in a mirror, but one day we will see face to face. My understanding is incomplete now. We just need to repeat that to ourselves over and over. My understanding is incomplete now. But one day I will understand everything, just as everything about me has been fully understood. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. I love that this passage on knowledge being partial begins and ends with love. Any knowledge that I have to be effective must begin and end with love. Any knowledge that you have to be helpful to humankind must begin and end with love. That's how you fight for grace. You remember that we only see part. No matter how much we know, it's only part. And then the other thing I noticed in that passage, and I think Dave's probably going to get into it next week a little bit, maturity is revealed by what I say and what I see. Maturity is revealed by what I see and what I say. And then, to my chagrin, I say, ouch. Because sometimes I see things like a child. I don't see them like an adult. A spiritually mature person. Sometimes I say things that are very childish. In humility, how do we fight for grace? In humility, we remember what we deserve. In humility, we remember that we see only part. How do we fight for peace? Talk about an oxymoron. Isn't peace the absence of fighting? No, it isn't. No, it isn't, actually. So how do we fight for peace? I don't know about you, but one of the beautiful things that's come out of COVID, in my opinion, is that I have learned that we must fight for peace. It just doesn't happen by itself. I don't think peace is going to our separate corners and refusing to be connected. That's not peace. So how do we fight for peace? Point A, in love, we came out of love just now. In love, we search for agreement. What are the things we can agree on? What are the things we can agree on? In love, we search for agreement. The problem is, in the past, I believe, in my growing up especially, as church, good church folk, we tried to make things that we agree on things that don't matter. The way you dress, the way this, the way this, the way that. No. You search for agreement. Paul talks about it in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. He says, as a prisoner of the Lord. Now that has some punch to it. He wasn't just talking metaphorically there. He was actually in prison when he wrote that. So if someone I respect and love and maybe has led me to the Lord, if they're in prison for their faith and they write to me and they say, as a prisoner of the Lord, I plead with you, I'm going to be like this. What does he have to say? I plead with you to walk holy in a way that is suitable to your high rank. I love the way he does that. He's like, come on, live up to what your calling is. Live up to your calling in a way that is suitable to your high rank given to you in your divine calling with tender humility and quiet patience. Always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another. Do you see those words? Humility, quiet patience, gentleness, generous love toward one another, especially toward those who may try your patience. Well, I am just thankful that he included people who get on your last nerve. He's not living somewhere that there that doesn't happen. He's like, you know that person who just gets on your nerves? Yeah, be especially patient, quietly patient with them. Be especially generous in your love with them. Be especially tender with them. Be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bonds of peace. Now, here's where he points out where there is agreement. This is where he has searched for agreement and he has found it. Being one body and one spirit, as you were all called into the same glorious hope of divine destiny. For the Lord God is one, and so are we. For we share in one faith, one baptism, and one Father. And he is the perfect Father who leads us all, works through us all, and lives in us all. That's really powerful. In love, we search for agreement. Many years ago, most of you know I taught school for a number of years. I really enjoyed my school teaching years. I just love that God takes us through seasons. I love being a pastor now, you know. I love that he lets us do different things that we love. What a gift. So I was a school teacher, but I had been home with my kids because they were itty bitty. I had two under two. That's always interesting, you know. It's fun, but it's interesting. And so I was home with my little ones. And I found out that a local school really desperately needed a music teacher, and it was a part-time gig. And so we needed some extra income, and so it worked out. And it was this Catholic school where we lived who contacted me and wanted me to teach music. Well, I'd never taught music before, so that was a little out of my wheelhouse, although I love music. I wouldn't consider myself a music teacher, but they were desperate, and I was willing. And so I got there, and I noticed right away I was the only non-Catholic teacher on staff. It was really clear. And that's all right, you know. I had no exposure to Catholic ways. I had no understanding. I grew up in the South. I don't ever remember seeing one Catholic church in the community where I lived, ever. I don't think still there is a Catholic church there. Nothing against Catholic people, but I'm just saying I didn't have a grid for it, right? So I'm there, and I'm getting used to the groove of being in a Catholic school environment. Beautiful, though. I think it was the first or second day, an ambulance went down the street, and my little second graders all paused and did this to pray for whoever was going. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty amazing. I loved it. But then the principal came to me and she goes, hey, Sandy, she said, we have a little bit of a challenge. Our first all-school mass, the person who was going to play the organ for us can't be there. They're sick. Can you come and play the organ for us? And I'm like, huh? Doug, would you like that gig? You have. Okay. And I told her, I'm a transparent person, as you know. And I said, you know what? I would be honored and happy to help, but I don't have one clue about how to do what and when to do it. And she goes, that's all right, we'll put a kid up there with you to tell you what to do. Okay, I can do that. So they put a junior higher sitting beside me, telling me, do this, play this. And so I did it. It was very interesting. And on the way back, walking from the school to the from the church back to the school, the principal says to me, with kids, like a bunch of kids around and several teachers, she goes, well, I know this was your first experience in a Catholic, in a mass. What do you think? And it was like the time stood still. It was like all the kids stopped and all the teachers stopped and just looked at me. And I'm like, oh no! And the Holy Spirit is so faithful. He is so faithful, because I'm not this clever. The Holy Spirit gave me the words in that moment. And I said, you know what? I think there's a lot. And they all knew I was a pastor's wife at that time. They all knew that. They didn't know what a pastor was, but they knew I was a pastor's wife. And the little ones, I mean. And I said, I think there's a lot my church could learn from your church. And it was like they all went, oh. Like that. And she goes, what do you mean? Thanks. Okay. I have to clarify. I said, you know what? I really loved the reverence for God in his house that I saw among your people. That was a beautiful thing to me. You know, I could have gone a different direction, right? It's too formal, too stuffy for me. I don't know when to kneel and when to stand. I don't know. No, in love, we search for agreement. We look for it. We dig it out. We search for agreement and make it stuff that matters. Well, I thought your priest had the coolest robe. That doesn't matter. Make it stuff that matters. Paul says one body, one faith, one Father, one Spirit. That's stuff that matters. How else do we fight for peace? This is a harder one. Point B, in love, we stay connected even in disagreement. Oh, I got to go fast. I have so much I want to share. In Romans 14, Paul lays out an argument basically that talks about, because there was a big division in the church over whether or not they should eat this kind of food, whether or not they should celebrate these kind of days, okay? I'm going to try to sum it up. In verse 1, he says this, offer an open hand of fellowship to welcome every true believer, even though their faith may be weak and immature. He didn't say, tell them their faith is weak and immature. He said, offer an open hand of fellowship to welcome them. And refuse, say it in the back, refuse to engage in debates with them according to nothing more than opinions. Oh, Jesus, help us. Verse 4, he says, who do you think you are to sit in judgment of someone else's household servant? His own master is the one to evaluate whether he succeeds or fails, and God's servants will succeed, for God's power supports them and enables them to stand. Verses 12 and 13, therefore, everyone, each one, must answer for himself, not for each other, for himself. And give a personal account of his own life before God. So stop being critical and condemning of other believers. Stop it, stop it, stop it. But instead, determine to never deliberately cause a brother or sister to stumble and fall because of your actions. Verses 19 and 20. So then, make it your top priority to live a life of peace with harmony in your relationships. Harmony is not everyone singing the same note. Harmony is singing notes together that fit because of having one body, one spirit, one Father, one Lord. Eagerly seeking to strengthen and encourage each other, not correct each other, encourage each other. Stop ruining the work of God by insisting on your own opinions about food, about fill in the blank. We have a lot of things right now we could discuss, right? I literally am saying, I'm sorry, I don't want to discuss that. I don't really want to talk about that. I could make a good case for either side, so let's not talk about it. It is wrong to deliberately cause someone to be offended over what you eat or what you say or what you do. It's wrong. Listen, staying connected doesn't mean I have to change my mind. But staying connected also doesn't mean I have to change your mind. What a concept. What a concept. I can stay connected. Listen, I know it's hard. I feel like there have been times in my life where the disagreement between me and someone, I felt so much hurt, I felt so misunderstood, everything within me wanted to pull back and not be connected anymore. And God just keeps nudging me forward. Don't fight, don't lose connection. Fight for connection, fight for peace. It means I choose to continue loving you and wanting to spend time with you, even if neither of us ever changes our minds. We lift our relationship with each other because of one God, one Spirit, one faith, one baptism, because of all that. We lift our relationship with each other above opinions, ideas, personalities, and biases. And everyone has a bias. He finishes it up in Romans 15, 1 and 5 and 6. Now, those who are mature in their faith can easily be recognized. Ooh, for they don't live to please themselves, but have learned to patiently embrace others in their immaturity. Now may God, the source of great endurance and comfort, grace you with unity among yourselves, which flows from your relationship with Jesus. If you're struggling with fighting for peace, if you're struggling for searching for agreement, if you're struggling to stay connected even in disagreement, where does it flow from? Your relationship with Jesus, the Anointed One. Don't try harder. Just get closer to Jesus. It will flow from that place. It will just flow from that place. Then, with a unanimous rush of passion, you will with one voice, glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we fight for grace? In humility, we remember what we deserve. In humility, we remember that we see only part. How do we fight for peace? In love, we search for agreement. And in love, we stay connected even in disagreement. Jesus, we want to partner with you and fight for grace and fight for peace. So rather than learning how to fight better, we just want to pull into you a little closer so that you can flow through us to fight for grace and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Tomorrow at noon is prayer. Hope you can join us. I just want to share a quick good report from our community hunger center. Remember the food drive we did back in April? I think it was April. We got a letter from them this week thanking us for our blessings on them. And they told us since March, since the whole pandemic hit, they have served 1,097 households a 7-day supply of food. So a family comes in and chooses what they want for their family for 7 days worth, and then they go, right? That's amazing. They've served, out of that group, there were 792 senior citizens, 1,214 adults, and 761 kids. In the last 3 months, they've added 59 new families that they've never served before, most of whom are struggling as a direct result of the pandemic, lost their jobs for, you know, making less. So I wanted to say thank you for your giving that made that possible. And I think we're going to be doing another drive coming up in August. Talked with our Extend Love leader team, a team leader, Natalie, about it. And they're in need of school supplies, of beans and cereal, and plastic bags. So I think we're going to do a little drive for them in August. We'll keep you posted on that. And if you want to just give cash, that's a benefit to them as well. They can buy food at a lower cost that way. So be ready for that. But I just wanted to share that testimony with you. It's a blessing, right? Next week, we start a new series. God confirmed it over and over again, so I can't wait for us to start this new series. Up. Have you seen the Disney movie, Up? Okay, if you have, watch it again between now and next Sunday. And if you haven't, watch it between now and next Sunday if possible. Because it's real, huh? It will make you cry. Sob. It made me sob. Yeah, but it's a good movie, and I know that God is calling us up. I know God is calling us up. So it's going to be a fun series. Dave's going to kick it off next week with the title, Grow Up. Grow Up. So it's going to be good, and I know you're going to love it. I pray that you are blessed, that you have a great week, that you feel the encouragement of the Lord, and that you press in to Jesus. Have a great week. Love you guys.